I shall read the second chapter, although we'll be only looking at the first two. Our Song of Solomon and chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me, flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh down forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take up the foxes, the little foxes, and spoil the vines, for our wines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. Now, tonight, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. That's those two verses. Now, just a little bit of an introduction again, that this is a love song, and some people regard it purely as a love song, but it wouldn't be in the scriptures if it were so. It can hardly be so. So it says indeed a love song, but it says Solomon is writing really of the love of the church, or Israel then, to God, God to the church. And now for us, it is a love between Christ and the believer, or Christ and the church. And so many of the expressions are intimate, because we're talking here about experimental theology or language. And there are bound to be, like there are in the hymns that are experimental, you have Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. So it's familiar, and you're bound to have it here. And so many, many hymns are based on parts of this book. And we have more quotations from this than we imagine, you know. Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, the fairest of 10,000, my brighter morning star. There are many, many phrases that we remember. Now, it's a saviour to the individual believer particularly. So we are on holy ground. We're describing the experimental and the emotional in a way. Now, the deciding factor, it can be quite difficult who is speaking, whether it is Solomon or whether it is the beloved. And so you have to work that out. And it's quite clear, really. So sometimes you have to go, if you wonder, well, which is it now? Is it Christ speaking of himself, or is he speaking of the believer, or the believer of Christ? So the way of deciding is, what is the theme in that passage? And you make your decision then by the theme. And we're going from the theme of the last chapter. The believer is showing some reluctance and carelessness has crept in, almost indifference, and has become cold towards God. and called towards the ministry, and even and kind. Now, if the person is truly a believer, it is God alone that can stir the hearts. It is God alone that can reach the depths of the soul. Immediately there is a change here, as if the soul is stirred. And he says then in the previous chapter, draw me. The relationship is safe, the fellowship to be restored. Tell me whom my soul loveth. Draw me. I want to come nearer in my experience and in my life to my Saviour. Tell me whom my soul loveth. That is a believer saying, tell me. That is, tell me, O Lord, whom my soul loveth. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flocks to rest at noon. Now then, how can I be amongst those who are close to thee, to those who are drawn near to thee? How can I be there? And remember, the advice was, well, follow them. Follow them to the meetings that they go to. Follow them in the things that they do and have fellowship with them. Don't divorce yourself from those who love God. So you can have, you see, a lovely Christian, but hasn't somehow had this longing in their heart for this intimate fellowship. Maybe they're afraid because it's too demanding. I don't know. There can be all sorts of reasons. It can be failing to get over some great sorrow or difficulty. But then you'll see others, and they seem so radiant and so full of love towards God. And then sometimes in the others, suddenly there becomes a longing to be like them and say, tell me, draw me, where do they feed? Where are you with them? And how can I get there? Well, the answer simply says, follow them. If you follow them to the places that they go, to a place of worship and so on, and befriend them, bring it's here in the previous chapter, the kids, the little ones, kids in like in animals here, but meaning little ones, bring them to your minister, to your shepherd, and let them get acquainted with him. And so at the end of the chapter then, and in that chapter, you find a longing for God, and that this can be satisfied only in the Lord himself. Now, we come to a second chapter, which is a continuation. So when we wonder, who is the Rose of Sharon here? It's a two-way thing, but nevertheless, you go by the theme always in the book Song of Solomon. So the description of Christ, I am the Rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. I am the Rose of Sharon. Often we have statements like this. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am Alpha and Omega. Here, I am the Rose of Sharon. Where they grew was known for its dense vegetation. And flowers flowered there in rich earth. The Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, sweet savouring flowers. The roses and lilies were in lovely places, could be found. And in his own rights, Christ may commend himself, saying, well, in a way that describes me, something of his excellence in his person, the deity of Christ in him. He dwells in the fullness of the Godhead, in perfect deity, the humanity of Christ, sinless, he knew no sin, two natures in one person, supremely qualified to be our Saviour, as man, to sympathise with our weakness and our frailties, not a relief. But when we pray, we know that he understands. As God, he is victorious over death, hell and the devil, so that we should really, perhaps we don't always appreciate the power of God, as maybe when we pray sometimes. I remember that cry in the of that man, and he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We do believe, but to have total belief, because we have a high view of God, and if we are overwhelmed by a high view of God, then we can come and ask great things of him. Here, a rose and a lily, we have something of the excellence of the beauty of Christ and the radiance of his beauty. In Hebrews 1:3 it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now we have the tenderness of the petals, the sensitivity of fragrance of the rose, of the lily, portraying tenderness, a sense of rare beauty in the soul. Now, Christ is not weak. He is strong. At the same time, there is a tenderness in him. And in this knowledge of him then, we get to know something of the fragrance of his presence and the loveliness. So when we read our scriptures daily and pray and learn to pray, respecting him and approaching him in the right way, sometimes we find a presence that know in our hearts, he's close to me, a kind of fragrance. High thoughts of Christ. If in a relationship one begins to despise the other, in any relationship, everything goes wrong. It's necessary to think highly, even in human relationship. But to think highly of Christ, here the Lord commends himself. High thoughts of Christ enable us to have right attitude towards him. Now think of that. If you have a high thought of Christ, you love him, you delight in him, and you want to do all he desires that you should do, and the way you should behave, the way you should react, the way you should speak. If you love Christ, you'll do that. If you have high thought of Christ, it enables us, it will help you to have right attitudes towards him. Now, we don't always, do we? We so often fail there to have right attitudes towards him. A correct knowledge of Christ, as we are endeared to him, by exercising his presence, the presence of Christ. Not a phrase, not known and felt presence. We know the one, we know the details about him, we know of a relationship with him and his greatness, but also knowledge on his own is rather barren. So that's why we have this balance of what we call experimental Calvinism. We have this balance of knowledge with also the spirit of feeling, emotions not known and felt. A person could go through a whole lot of doctrines and a whole lot of rules, and it doesn't move you. But if we used to say this phrase, we love the doctrines of grace, but that hasn't meant a lot unless in your heart there's the grace of the doctrines. And so that these beautiful truths have been part of you and something of the fragrance of Christ is in you. High thoughts of Christ quicken the powers of the soul. Imagine now, you have a soul, and do you want that soul to be quickened, powerful? A spiritual thrill in mind, affections, will. High thoughts of Christ embark on high attempts to his honor. We venture greater exploits. So if in our congregation here we begin to have high thoughts and higher thoughts of Christ, we'll venture higher and greater things for him. There will not be always those who are kind of long and yet don't make that move. We all move at different times. We all are moved at different times. And we can't make ourselves or force ourselves. It becomes very artificial. We ask the Lord to move us, that we might be Christ-like and have a high view of him. And that has a profound effect upon our lives. We delight to do his will. So if anybody should ask you to do something for the church, you say, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I think I used to half teasingly say years ago, when I was a minister, people say, well, yes, he said, if you can't get anybody else, come back to me. Well, you never do, do you? But no, you don't get that anymore. Now you just got to play no or less. We embark for high attempts to his honor. We venture on greater exploits. And in our church like this here, we have a lovely building God gave it us. And he gave it for a purpose. He wants all of us here to have a high view of Christ. And if we have a high view of Christ, we will then venture great things for him. They're called greater exploits. So are we willing to say, it's my pleasure, Lord. It's my pleasure. It's my delight. In 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Precious in his sinless life. You think now, it's so different to ourselves. Sinless life. His atoning death. You only have to enter into that and survey it and consider it, and it is overwhelming. And we should never forget it in our lives. And precious in his person. So remember that now. I'm a great believer in knowing our doctrines. This is why we have this lovely series on a Sunday afternoon. We should know our doctrines. And if we don't know our doctrines, every wind will blow us this way and that way, you know, every strange teaching. And so we have the opportunity to learn our doctrines and to do them on ourselves as well. But, you know, the purpose of learning your doctrines in order that I may know him. So no, you're saying, oh, I love Christ anyway. Well, what are you loving unless you don't know what it is? So you must know the details about him before you can say, I love him. Or it's a very vague thing. You know, it's very much like saying, you know, I'm going to get married to a person. And you know them? No, I haven't met them yet. It's a very strange thing. You know, you have to know. You have to know. And also knowing then, with also affection, that is the perfect harmony then. Now, in our relationship, am I in that fellowship of those who are in the flock, where he takes them as if he had a special kind of relationship? It could be the same service, but for some, somehow it warms their hearts, and maybe the others long. I don't know. You're going to have this variety whilst... whilst there is a church, you're going to have this variety. And also, we move at different speeds, different times, and the dealings of God. And we should be very loving and very patient with one another. You know, there is a good word by our Lord when he said, if you see a fault in a brother, first of all, examine yourself. If you see there's a splinter in his eye, well, there may be a beam in yours, so take the beam out. But it doesn't say don't take the splinter out. Take the splinter out when you can see clearly. So we encourage one another, but we are living in an age when people will not be told. You know that's true, don't you? That we're living in that kind of an age. We will not take the loving guidance of a brother. But there may come a time again when we become spiritual and we will accept. And we'll say, thank you, that's helped me. It'll be a long time before that happens, maybe, I don't know. The devotion of Christ to his own. Christ loves for his own. As the lily among the thorns, my love among the daughters. I am the rose, I am the lily. The believer now as a lily. The believer has his love. He has the love of Christ. So there's a reflection of the loveliness of the rose of Sharon and the simplicity of the beauty of the lily now also reflected in the believer. So you're able to say, I'm the rose of Sharon, I'm the lily of the valley, so that you become what the Bible says, Christ-like, and you have the mind of Christ. The love of Christ to us is immeasurable. Listen to this, that Christ may dwell in this is scripture, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, are we? Now, you know, we can pass by these words, that Christ may dwell, that he lives in your hearts by faith. Now, you might say, well, we all have that in believing. Yes, but this is a special relationship, that Christ lives in you, and it's so very apparent. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you're absolutely immersed in the love of Christ, that you may be able, because of that, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, try and describe the love of Christ. It passes knowledge, but you enter something into the understanding of it when you go along that way, Christ dwelling in your heart, rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend what? The love of Christ. What kind of love? That passes ordinary knowledge. It loves when it seems impossible to love. It cares when it seems impossible to care. It sacrifices when it seems impossible to sacrifice. So you're entering then into the realm of this intimacy with Christ. Now, his incarnation, in such a word, the love of his present mankind, perfect mankind, an absolute deity, his love for us, his obedience to the law of God for us, his suffering on Calvary and paying the penalty for our son for us, his love in his fellowship, so we're able to say, my shepherd is my mediator in glory. So you see the relation of the theme here, how it goes from one gently to the other. Jesus says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. And then those who are drawn close will say, we have been made like that. We are also now lilies ourselves because the righteousness of Christ is ours. Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can no tongue declare. O knit my thankful heart to thee, to thine. O knit my thankful heart to thee, and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, thine alone I am. Be thou alone my constant flame. O grant that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone. Do you really want that? Really want it now? O grant that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone, nothing else. O may thy love possess me whole, my joy, my treasure, and my crown. Strange flames far from my heart remove my every act and thought. My every act, word, thought, be love. That there should be no hindrances. Strange flames remove. Strange loves send them away. That the only one there will be his. For this love possesses us. Now, his love is constant, is pure, is everlasting, is in unfailing. In Romans 8, we are told, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You remember height or depth or any other creature, that tremendous list. Nothing, once you are his, and most especially in this relationship, nothing can separate you from Christ. You may have to go through awful circumstances and people turn their backs on you, but nothing can separate you from Christ. Now, the distinction of the Christian in the world, Christ is a lily, the believer is like that too, as a lily among the thorns. You see, he's set his heart upon us in election, in eternity. As a lily, they are partakers of his beauty, dressed in his beauty, not their own. As our sin is imputed to him, his obedience is imputed to us. So then, as our unworthiness is put to him, his loveliness is put to us. So something of this loveliness, of this lily purity and fragrance is ours when we are in that relationship. Where did he find us? Among the thorns. That's where he found us. Among the thorns. Among the ungodly. It was God's mercy. And grace invaded our hearts in a most unlikely place. You say, where did you gather those lilies? Amongst the thorns. There? A lily? There? How did they become lilies? He made them lilies. He made them pure. He made them, they had a fragrance. He cares for us. That the thorns can be very strong. They could choke us. We are amongst them. We live in this world. We cannot escape that. We live in this world, but even in a world of thorns, he looks after his lilies. So if you're the only one in a family, and the family are all thorns, you're a lily, and he looks after you. Or at work, if you're amongst very powerful thorns, ambitious and hard, yet you're one of his lilies, and he looks after you there. So wherever you are in this thorny, wicked world, he looks after his own. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. In a way, a lily doesn't belong to the thorns, in a way, but that's where he finds us. Where did he find you? Where did he find you? We can be found in the most strange of places. These thorns are choking and stifling, and yet here is a thing of beauty in amongst them. You might say, wherever, however could it be that such beautiful spirituality could be from that home, from that town? How could it be when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah and you think of Lot there? Well, there was a little family of lilies there, and he rescued them, you know. He rescued them. That's an amazing thing. The beauty of the lily is the more startling. She was at first no better than a thorn, the believer here. His grace alone made her to differ. So if you are different, and if you know that you are not only different, but you are also changing, and you're getting more tender towards Christ, towards the church, because God, church is God ordained, and a minister is the anointed of the Lord, you find yourself where before you held back a little, you find yourself drawing nearer, and realizing this is very wonderful. But what's happening to me? I'm on the move. I'm on the move. I'm finding I love that which I was indifferent to before, or even disliked. But I'm finding myself on the move. The beauty of the lily is very startling. Saints are made in the most strange place, in impossible places. My brother was converted and convicted in a dance hall. You know, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? I was converted in a far harder place, in a theological college, where Christ was denied. You know, so we can be converted in the strangest of places, where are the thorns and the chokers, and yet he reaches our hearts as he reached yours. Do you want to be the best for him? You have a very short time to live, a very short time. It goes so quickly. You're young, you're old, and if you're like me, I never was middle-aged. I was once young. Where did the middle age go? And then you're old. It doesn't really matter, you know. The main thing is this. Am I his? Is he mine? Is there fragrance here? Do I leave the savour of Christ wherever I go? Would I say to anything for the things of God, it's my pleasure? It's my pleasure. So many, you know, there's a lot of violence today, but from the countries where those violence comes, many, many missionaries gave the whole of their lives preaching Christ to so many. Are they forgotten? Are they really forgotten? You know, it's as if they said, are you calling me, Lord? Yes, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And he's looking for a willing people. A willing people, a people who, if revival came, you see, you could be that in a church that don't really want it. I said, what will it involve? How much will it cost me in time and finance? Will it inconvenience me? Will it spoil my business associates? How much will it be? So we have in the Psalms, make thy people, make thy waiting people willing. Willing. Supposing now that on some meeting and it's drawing to its close, but Christ has come and you know you should go on. You know you should go on. And yet you're in a hurry to go home. Make my people willing. Willing for more of him. Are we really serious about him? we will pass the day of judgment happily. You know, the terrors of our Lord and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. But there's a day of Christ where the Christian is displayed before the whole multitude of heaven. You get it in 1 Corinthians 3 and also in the 2 Corinthians, the judgment seat of Christ. We are no less saved. But there is a difference in the entrance from an entrance, an abundant entrance. And then also rewards and rebukes. I don't know what they are, and it's futile to try and guess what they are. But there, you know, did we use our life in Christ to the glory of God? Did we change? Did we allow ourselves to be changed? Did we hold back when he gave his all? That's what we're saying here. And I think what we're trying to restore is what people once were and once believed. Not just, oh yes, I believe. Believe with total faith. With total faith. And always to God, it's my pleasure, Lord. It's a menial task, my boy. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. All came from the thorns. We all came from thorns. He made us into lilies. Fragrance. We were loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me. It is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport all divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. See, these hymns are love hymns, aren't they? They're like love letters of saying that we love him. And the question we ask ourselves, I can sing it. And you may have a lovely voice and be able to sing it well. But does your soul sing? Does your soul sing? And does your mind and your heart leap in adoration to him, that there is nothing too big or too small that you wouldn't do for him? In that day, it will be revealed. Now we'll sing a hymn, and it's...